our brother for those kind words of welcome. We're glad to be here tonight in your meeting, and we trust that the Lord will bless us as we gather here tonight around God's precious word. Those words we were singing, that they would indeed be the truth and the reality of our experience this evening. Open to us thy word, thy precious thoughts reveal, thy purposes and ways explain, and teach us all thy will. Is that not the need tonight of each and every one of us? And as we come to God's word this evening, may the Lord indeed give us that blessing in our hearts and in our own personal experience. Our brother read from Psalm 106, and there is one verse that I will want to draw, or a part of a verse that I want to draw your attention to in that psalm. But let's turn over to the New Testament, to John's Gospel, the chapter 5, and we'll read here some words from John chapter 5. Let's just commence from the verse 36. John 5, verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honour from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honour one of another, and seek not that honour that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Amen. And may God bless again this reading from his precious word to our hearts. It's that final verse of the chapter here. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? I'm not tonight speaking in what might be termed the usual fashion from a text of scripture, taking one verse and opening it up. But I do want to draw your attention to this verse, and then a verse over in the book of Psalm 106, and verse 24. But it's clear from this verse. This verse is instructing us tonight. God expects, is looking for us to believe his word. If ye believe not his writings. Whose writings? The writings of Moses. How shall ye believe my words? All scripture is on a par The words of Christ and the words of Moses stand side by side with the same authority. And God expects, the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for us tonight to believe his word. And the implication is, if you, he says here in John, if you don't believe the writings of Moses, then you're not going to believe my words. A failure to believe the writings of Moses is going to lead to your rejection of me. Turn back to Psalm 106, verse 24. Yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believed not his word. Again, the same sin is being highlighted, and the same warning is given. They despised the pleasant land. And linked in with this despising of God's pleasant land is this matter of failing to believe God's word. Oh, tonight, do you see how important this matter is? Do you see how essential indeed this subject is tonight? It's most important, the believing of the scriptures, the believing of God's word. And that's my subject for this evening. And we rejoice to be able to spend time with this subject. It's a wonderful subject, and I trust tonight that as we seek to bring out of it some important lessons, we pray that the Lord will bless it to our hearts, believing the Bible. But with God's word before us, we're going to seek the Lord's help. We're just going to turn to the Lord in prayer and ask him for his help and assistance even this evening as we minister his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for this privilege. We thank thee for the blessing of being in God's house and being here with God's people. When we think of the many places we might have been found tonight, pursuing all sorts of activities, Lord, there are multitudes in this city. Lord, they're occupied with this and that, gathering with vast companies of people to be entertained. Lord, we thank thee tonight that we are here in the place where Jesus Christ is. We have come here tonight to seek him, to seek the one who bled and died on Calvary's middle tree, to seek the one who took upon himself our sin, the one who bore our iniquities, the one who triumphed over death and hell, and all of his and our enemies, and the one who arose victorious from the grave, the one who has ascended on high, the one who has entered into glory, and is even there at the Father's right hand, pleading our cause tonight. But Lord, we praise thee that thou art coming again. Thou hast that command from the Father to sit at his right hand until thine enemies are made thy footstool. Lord, thou art coming again. Coming again to this world. This is our hope. Thou art coming personally. Thou art coming visibly to this world. And praise God, thou art coming gloriously to reign in triumph and in victory. This is the hope of the church. This is our expectation this evening. We pray that by God's grace we will be led out after the Saviour, even in the study of God's word tonight. Make this to be a profitable time, Lord. With that key of heaven, come and unlock the Scriptures. Come and unlock our hearts. Open our hearts that the Word of God may enter in, and that the Word of God may lay hold upon us, put us under arrest, bring us under its authority, conform us to the image of thy dear Son. Bless us to this end, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Believing the Bible. Few believe the Bible tonight. Few believe the Bible. That is a fact, a reality, that ought to be evident to us all. To stand up in the midst of today's world and say, I believe the Bible. To do that in our times is going to mean, it's going to have a consequence. It's going to mean that we find ourselves in the company of the few immediately. For few believe the Bible. Few accept its teachings. Few believe all that this book says without question, without reservation. It is the unique person that believes the Bible and consequently lives by this book. That person is unique today, sadly. That person stands out like the proverbial sore thumb in this world. You're going to be different. You're going to stand out if you believe the Bible. I need hardly enlarge on this fact. But in the arena of human activity, in the society that we live in, you can't have helped but have noticed that more and more on a daily basis, the Bible, the laws of God, the precepts of Scripture are being disregarded. They're being pushed to the one side. Men are in haste tonight to set to one side not just part of the Bible, but all of what God says. I was just noticing as I was reading those verses that our brother read just prior to the meeting in Psalm 106. I was noticing what it says in the verse 13. Do you see what's said there? They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. Now, if you have a margin in your Bible, you will read an interesting rendering to those Hebrew words in verse 13. They made haste. They forgot. They made haste. They waited not on the counsel of God. And is that not what we are seeing developing all around us? Men are in haste to do one thing. Forget everything that the Bible has said. To turn their back upon what the Scriptures has said. And don't be deceived tonight that they're thinking it's just certain parts of the Bible. This is a process. And it's been going on really now for a very long time. In this land of ours, God's word is being rejected. But it's a process that's
aiming to end at one destination, and one destination only, that is the complete, utter rejection of everything God has said. The devil and the world are relentless in this matter. They will not be stopped in this matter when they have been able to make us forget about one portion of Scripture, they will quickly move on to another. That's how things are developing. Governments are engaged in this. Our government is engaged in this. In Roderan, in our Sunday evening meeting just a couple of weeks ago, we dealt with the words of our Prime Minister when, in his party conference speech, he threw in his full support with the legalising of sodomite marriage. Is it not a strange thing? Not so strange to anyone acquainted with the Bible, of course, but is it not a strange thing that the very man who made it one of his election promises that he was going to fix broken Britain should be seeking to legislate and to legalise that which is sin? The Bible says it's sin. That's not my judgment. So don't come down on me tonight like a ton of bricks. That's not my judgment. That is God's judgment. And the man who leads our country, who professes to have a desire to fix broken Britain, and who is concerned about youths out on the street rioting, is, along with the whole political establishment, evidencing a lawlessness that is at the very heart of government. Far, far worse than anything that we have seen on the streets. Vandalism, in a scale far, far greater. Well, I tell you, you can't fix broken Britain by legislating that which is contrary to God. And here is again evidence of the fact that there is today a rejection of God's word. And it reaches right to the very places of power. Mr. Cameron has made his views clear, but go through whatever political party you like, and you'll find the same principle at work. No room for God's word. No room for God's opinion. No room for God's opinion. It's the same when we come to the education of the vast, vast majority of the children of our land. Well, there's no room today in the classroom for the Bible, nor for the God of the Bible. Well, you can't bring that into the classroom. That would be severely wrong. Churches are doing this as well. Churches are doing this as well. Have you ever sat down and considered how much of this blessed book that we hold in our hands tonight, how much of this book and the doctrines and the teachings of Scripture are neglected by the pulpits of our land? There are so many subjects dealt with in the Bible, but ministers, for whatever reason, fail to lead their flock into these pastures. Few believe the Bible. Few believe the Bible. And yes, we are to point the finger at ministers. But there's another side to the matter as well. Because as we read in the book of Jeremiah, my people love to have it so. My people love to have it so. Because if the pulpit is neglecting many portions of the Bible, if the pew were reading the Bible, suddenly they would discover, here are parts of the Bible that my minister never deals with. And they would be asking the minister, what do these portions mean? So there's two sides to the position there for us to consider. But this is true also when we come down to the individual and how the individual believer lives. You see, whether we believe the Bible or not will manifest itself in how we daily live. It will come out. It will come out in our conversation. It will come out in our conduct. It will come out in how we're living, whether or not we believe the Bible. This is something that you cannot hide. It will be made evident by how you live, whether or not the reality is that you believe the Bible. In fact, there's no better place to test our belief of the Scriptures than in how we live. In how we live in our homes, in our places of employment, and in those other day-to-day activities that we get involved in. It's there we begin to see whether or not the Bible is the precept by which we live. If God's truth does not shine through in these mundane day-to-day activities, then I honestly believe we have to ask ourselves the question, does it shine in us at all? And here we're down to a very practical level, I know. But is not all that God teaches to us practical in its outworkings in our lives? I believe it is. Every doctrine of God has an impact, has a practical impact upon us. And this matter we look at tonight, whether or not we believe the Bible, impacts in that it will ultimately affect our day-to-day living. Oh, the very last thing we need in the world tonight, in these times, is some sort of dry, dead, unmoving religious address. Thus I want us to ask ourselves, with God's word open tonight, and as we are here gathered in the presence of God, I want us to ask this searching question. What relationship do I have with my Bible? Believing the Bible. The believing of the Bible. Now let us ask ourselves this question. Don't worry about the person beside you or anyone else. I want you to ask yourself this question. What relationship do I have with my Bible? Do I believe the Bible? Now first of all, I want us to think about this. Why should I believe the Bible? Why should I put my trust unreservedly, unquestionably in what the Bible says? Most certainly, what we are advocating here tonight is not some sort of unreasonable activity. That's not what we're calling for at all. In fact, the reality of the matter is tonight A soul never acts better, a soul never acts more wisely than when it trusts itself, its everything, to what God says. That is the wisest course of action the soul of man can ever take. To trust entirely to the Scriptures. Let me give you some fundamental reasons tonight why every soul in this place, indeed all over this great city tonight, indeed all over our land, are called, are duty bound indeed, to believe the Bible. You see, one needs to remember what sort of book the Bible is. If we remember this, then we have very good reason to believe the Bible. Come to terms tonight with this truth. When you take up the Bible, you take up a book like no other book you can ever or will ever hold in your hands. Oh, this is most important. Every time you take up your Bible, you open it to read it. Should it only be one verse? Should it even only be one word? Please, never forget this. Remember this. What you are reading is the living, unerring Word of the living God. And it's a book thus infinitely apart and separated from all other books that you will ever meet with in the world. The Bible stands alone tonight. We pray in our meetings before we come to the preaching of God's Word. We pray as we come to the reading of God's Word in private. We pray as we are engaged in our reading and study of God's Word. And we do that for a very good reason. Because this is a book where human intellect alone is not going to be enough to enable us to understand what it says and to profit from its contents. Some of the greatest minds in the world have come to the Bible, have read the Bible, and have been mystified, have been absolutely perplexed. Now, why is that? This will not offend us once we grasp and once we understand the type of book that we are dealing with when we have the Bible. It's God's book. These are heavenly words. Turn with me to Psalm. Psalm number 68, please. Psalm number 68. And I'm thinking here of the verse 11. Psalm 68 verse 11. Now listen to these words. We're seeking to establish what sort of book this is, because we're putting forth a position tonight. We must believe the Bible. Well, listen to what the psalmist says. Psalm 68 verse 1. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company, or the army of those that published it. The Lord give the word. It is the word of the Lord that we preach. I'm not standing up here tonight in my authority or the authority of the church or in the authority even of the sovereign grace of the Testament. When I open the Bible and when I read from this book, I'm reading the words of God. That brings us into an altogether different realm. An altogether different realm Indeed, God is speaking to us. And God speaks to high and to low equally in this book.
Consider just quickly with me some of the titles that are given to the scriptures, and you will see, I think, how we should see this book that we hold in our hand as being a very unique book. Turn to the book of Romans, the chapter 1, and I'm thinking here at the verse 2, Romans chapter 1 verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Here's one of the titles of the Bible. We read in the Psalm 68 that the Lord gives the word. It has come to us from heaven, from God. Therefore, it's not now going to be surprising what we read in Romans chapter 1 verse 2. For there Paul calls the writings of the prophets the Holy Scripture. Oh, that men would recognize that this word has come from God, that this is his holy word, and man would not be as quick to tamper with it were he to realize this. Let me give you another example from Daniel. And it leads us on in our thoughts here. This word has come from heaven. It's come from the Lord. It is described by Paul as the Holy Scriptures. Now let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. I'm thinking off in the verse 21. Daniel 10 verse 21. Last verse of the chapter. But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in those things but Michael, your prince. That which is noted in the Scripture of truth. In the Scripture of truth. Oh, do we understand this tonight? Why should I believe the Bible? Well, is there not reason enough tonight in these verses for every one of us to instantaneously at once accept what's before us? For this word has come from the Lord. It's come from heaven. It is God's holy word. It is the oracle of truth. It is the scriptures of truth. To understand what the Bible in reality is, we need never to forget how or what Paul says in that famous verse. One of the 3:16 in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. Do you remember what Paul said to Timothy? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why should I believe the Bible? Well, when I consider what type of book it is, then I must believe the Bible. But then again, I will suggest to you that the character of the author of the Scriptures compels us to believe the Bible. We've already seen this. Truth is the very essence of the being of God. The lie is completely repugnant to the God of heaven. The Almighty has no concord whatsoever with the lie. He stands apart from the lie as light stands apart from darkness. And as there is nothing deceptive whatsoever in our God, so there is nothing deceptive in his word from beginning to end.
the character of God is stamped upon His Word. We can tonight, without reservation, rest upon what God says because of this fact. The character of God. We're exhorted in the Gospels to have faith in God. Well, you see, bound up, and part of that exhortation, going along with having faith in God, is having faith in what He says. The character of God comes out in His writings. It comes out in His writings.
Then, let me add something else here tonight. The track record of the Bible compels us to believe it tonight.
The credentials of this volume are second to none. Over all the ages of human history, nothing has had to be changed in God's message to mankind. It stands as it was given. Many different writers, over a great period of time, in very different circumstances, in very different cultures, have all declared God's word, and all in perfect unity. Well, there's no book like the Bible. No book like the Bible. Its message is the same to mankind tonight as it has always been. The world has changed, but the scriptures, the Bible, stands the same. Well, the textbooks of scientists have all changed, and even as I speak tonight, are in that unceasing process of changing. Because as time rolls on, man is confronted with new information that takes to bits his former thoughts and his happy rethink his whole scheme over again. But you see, the Bible being God's book, God meets with nothing that forces him to change. He is the all-knowing one. The record of God's word speaks for itself. And that record, I tell you tonight, is reason in itself for you and me to believe the Bible. Why should I believe the Bible? That's one thing. But let me come secondly to this thought. How far should one go in believing the Bible? How far are we to take this? How far are we to go in believing the Scriptures? This is also important in these times in which we live, because very many people want to pick and to choose out of the Bible just certain things to believe that either fit into their scheme of thinking or they find pleasant. And they don't want to go beyond these choice portions of Scripture or doctrines. Oh yes, everyone wants to believe about heaven. At least I say the heaven that man has in his brain as to what heaven is like. Whether or not he wants to think about the place described actually in the Scriptures, that place of holiness, that place where sin will never enter, that place where God dwells in light inaccessible. Whether or not man will be as keen to hear about the Bible's description of heaven as opposed to his own notion of heaven, that's an altogether different matter. But you get the picture. What I'm saying here tonight, there are certain topics, there are certain doctrines that man wants to focus upon and leave out other parts of the Bible.
What about hell?
What about that place of eternal judgment? What about the wrath of God? What about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to this earth and taking vengeance upon all that defy him and his truth? Well, you will find that as soon as you start preaching upon these subjects, there's not as many interested. Because you see, men want to pick and choose out of the Bible what pleases them. Then there is, of course, the Genesis account. The first week of the world's history. And so many today will not want to believe what God is saying there. The days of that first week, well, they were not really 24-hour days. You're not asking me that God created the world in 6 days. That's not really the question. The real question is this: why did God take so long to make the world? Oh, you can't believe that the days in Genesis 1 were literal days. You get laughed at out there in this enlightened age. No one really believes this anymore. And quickly, following on from this, there will be the refusing of God's account of history and God's account of future events. The reality is, and the silence of so many pulpits on the subject illustrate the fact, that many refuse to believe what God is saying, not only about the past, not only about our lives presently. Oh yes, God has an opinion on all of us and has things for us to know right here and now. But then there is also this matter of the future. And what is up ahead for this world in which we are living. In the Church of Jesus Christ generally, there has been a losing sight of the fact that this world is going to know. It's going to know the mighty intervention of God one of these days. God's going to take into his control, direct control, the affairs of this world. Jesus Christ is coming back again. This is the hope of the church. The early church rejoiced in this fact. Why, you say? They lived further from the event than we do. But they showed greater zeal after that event than so many do today. Why is that? You see, because the Bible shows us that Christ's revealing, Christ's manifestation in glory is an event that every single believer is also going to share in. This is our hope. Christ is coming again in glory and in power. And I tell you, if we believe that today, if we believe that on a Monday morning as we're heading out to our work, it will change. It will have a direct impact upon how we live. And the bottom line is this tonight. We must believe the Bible. And we must believe all that the Bible says. All that the Bible says. That's how far we are to go. I've asked the question tonight. Having made the statement, we are to believe the Bible, and given you reasons why we are to believe the Bible, then I've asked the question, how far are we to go in this? We're to believe it all. I go back again to that key verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all profitable. It's all given to you and me for our benefit and for our blessing. Therefore, having been given to us by God, how remiss of you and me to neglect it. To neglect it. I hope you see this very passage. Every word of this book is given by God. And it's given by God to you. We need to be feasting upon that word. We need to be living upon that word every day. What relationship have you with the Bible? Do you believe it all? Do you read it all? Do you study it all? Man shall not live, the Savior said, by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lastly, let me say this. What are the outworkings of believing the Bible? We must believe the Bible. We must believe it all. But what benefits, what blessings come to us as a result of believing the Bible? Well, the results of firmly holding to the Scriptures, the results, how wonderful they are. I sum them up by three words tonight. Remember these three words and you'll have a foundation for the benefits that come to the soul by believing the Scriptures. First of all, growth. Turn with me to 2 Peter just for a few moments. The epistle of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And there's really a few verses here I want to read, and there's a contrast here that I want you to see. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 16. Let's read the verses first of all. 2 Peter 3:16. As also in all his epistles, that's Paul's epistles, Paul's writings, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. What's Peter looking for here? He's looking for growth, and he's pointing out that growth is going to come by the embracing of the words of God. But do you notice in the verse 16, he speaks of the unstable who rest the Scriptures, who do not hold on to the Scriptures. They rest them. They ignore them. and therefore they don't grow. Oh, the great blessing of believing the Bible tonight is that thereby we grow in grace. Paul's great exhortation to the Hebrews was what? Let us go on. Hebrews 6, verse 1. It's a fatal thing in the Christian life to stand still. There really can be no such thing as standing still. If we are not growing, if we are not advancing, then we're turning back. And the great benefit of believing the Bible, believing all the Bible, is thereby we grow. Grow. That's the first word. Another word I will use to set out tonight the blessing and the benefit of believing the Bible is the word stability. Oh, there's a need today for growth. Too many of us are still partaking of the milk and not progressed on to the strong meat. But another great matter today is the need for stability. And stability in the Christian walk with God comes. How? By hearing, and not just hearing, doing what God wills. Do you remember that famous sermon and how it comes to a conclusion there in Matthew chapter 7? Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Do you remember how it comes to an end with the parable? Look at the verse 24. Verse 24. Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. That's what you're building upon when you build upon God's word. You're building upon a rock. A rock. We need to take heed to our foundations. Because in this world there are many winds and storms and waves beating in upon us. And our house is going to be tested. And we need stability. How does stability come? By standing on the word of God. Standing there, we shall be strong. Standing there, we shall overcome. Whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Growth, stability. Then lastly, let me add in the word peace. We have not looked tonight at the context of those verses that we pointed out right at the very beginning. But read the histories there for yourself of those people referred to in both those chapters. John chapter 5 and Psalm 106. Read the histories of those people there. By failing to believe God's word, it led to great havoc in their lives. It led them to reject God's promise. It led God's own people to reject Messiah himself. Well, we need to take heed. We need to take heed. By rejecting God's word, they lost peace. True peace in man's soul comes only as he embraces the scriptures, as he embraces God's word, as he embraces all of it. What relationship Have you tonight with your Bible? Do you believe it? When it says to you tonight that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there's none righteous, no, not one, do you believe it? Do you put yourself in there to that text? When the Bible says tonight, repent and believe the gospel, do you believe it? When the Bible points you, as John the Baptist did, to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, as he died on the cross, do you, by faith, follow John's counsel and live to Christ? When the Bible says tonight that Christ Jesus is coming again in glory and power, are you looking forward to that day? Oh, my friend, what relationship have you with your Bible tonight? Do you believe God? And have you acted upon His word? It's our privilege, as well as our duty, to believe the Bible. For as I said, there's no one wiser in this world than that person that believes what the Bible says. No one wiser. Believe Him tonight as He speaks in His word, for Christ's sake. Amen. Thank you.